Melanie Weaver was fuming. She flicked a perfect blonde beach wave over her shoulder as she clomped over to the bar in chunky platform shoes. All this time, all this effort, all this money spent on a blowout, a manicure, and this ridiculous getup, only to have Brent dismiss her completely. Not just dismiss her, but embarrass her in front of a group of potential investors. Mel was beyond annoyed. She felt that special kind of anger that comes with being utterly humiliated, and it made her want to burn a hole through Brent's skull from across the room. Unfortunately, she had not yet developed laser eyes. "Bubbles, now," she gritted out, barely glancing at the bartender in her fury. She turned to face the other side of the room, Brent's side of the room, as the poor bastard behind the long honey onyx bar hurried to pour her a glass of sparkling wine. A soft chuckle drew her attention to the man leaning against the bar next to her. "What?" Mel spat. The man shrugged, one dark eyebrow raised.
"I think that might be a first."
His voice was laced with amusement.
"Can't say I've ever heard the word bubbles spoken with such..."
The man paused to choose his next word carefully when he caught Mel's murderous glare.
"Intensity."
Just then, the bartender pushed a perilously full champagne flute across the bar, and Melanie saw him as if for the first time. "Sorry, thank you." She fished in her clutch and pulled out a crumpled $5 bill. He nodded his thanks, and Mel tossed one more "sorry" at his back as he retreated to the far end of the bar to polish a very important glass. She sighed, rubbing her temple.
"Rough night?"
The stranger at the bar was talking to her again, and she swung to face him, surprised this man would be interested in a friendly chat after calling out her rudeness. She took him in, noting his slim-cut, perfectly tailored cobalt blue suit and the long, elegant fingers wrapped around his own mostly full champagne flute. He was tall and lean, with golden brown skin and dark hair that curled over his collar, a sharp contrast to Brent's high and tight blonde fade and the classic black suit strangling his bulky frame. "Who is this guy?" Mel took a generous drink from her glass before letting out a long, slow breath.
"That's just what I call it," she muttered sheepishly.
He shot her a bemused look.
"Call what?"
Mel gestured to her glass. "Bubbles. It's not likely to be champagne, not in an event this size with an open bar. Probably not cava, too niche. Possibly Prosecco, but if they're smart, they'll have a House California sparkling wine to complement the farm-to-table California cuisine in the restaurant. And frankly, I'll have the sparkling wine included with the open bar was a bit much for me to manage in my moment of need. Thus, bubbles." She took another sip, appraising the fine gold liquid.
"Good bubbles at that."
"Good bubbles, indeed." He gently clinked his glass to hers, and Mel offered up a tight smile before her eyes returned to the object of her ire as if pulled by a magnet. The stranger followed her gaze across the room. He cleared his throat, drawing her attention back to him.
"I don't mean to pry.
But I can sense you're going to anyway, so by all means, bring on the crowbar."
His mouth quirked a bit.
"What exactly does a man have to do to provoke that laser death glare? I think it's best I ask now to avoid any future injuries."
"Wow, going right for my robot eyes. Unfortunately, my lasers seem to be malfunctioning tonight, so you have nothing to worry about."
"I don't know. I'm pretty sure I'd be a puddle of guts on the floor if you turned that look on me."
Mel's laugh surprised her, her rage subsiding just enough for her to banter back.
"Oh, like this?"
She caught his eyes with hers, squinting at him in mock rage. He laughed, a deep, melodious sound that seemed to ricochet gently off the golden surface of the bar and around her ribcage, warming her from within.
"See? Completely malfunctioning."
Mel sighed and put on an exaggerated pout.
"I wouldn't say that."
His eyes pinned her in place.
I think I melted a little.
Mel barely had time to process his reply before Brent's laugh boomed from across the room, raspy, too loud, and almost definitely fake. She couldn't help the way her eyes rolled just a little at the sound.
"Are you here with Amara Group?" the man asked.
Mel shot him a quick look, the stranger's words reminding her that she was at a work function and very obviously shooting frown daggers at her colleague. Her superior, in fact. At least for now. "Pull it together, Mel. Do not tell this random stranger every thought and feeling in your head right now." She straightened, resisting the urge to tug at the top of her black jumpsuit, where it artfully draped to reveal slivers of a mint-colored mesh bra underneath, and perhaps a bit more pale flesh than she would usually display in a professional setting. She extended a hand. "Melanie Weaver, Food and Beverage, Amara Group, Los Angeles," she said with as much grace as she could muster.
"Rami Caldwell, Studio Spade."
He grasped her hand firmly, but his skin was soft and smooth. Mel's jaw dropped. But she recovered before he noticed. She hoped.
"Are you the one responsible for bringing in Ray Cho at the Arrow?" Rami asked. She nodded proudly. "Damn, I had been courting him for years. Snaked."
"Oh, no, I had no idea you..."
"Kidding, I swear."
Rami held his hands up in mock surrender.
"You clearly had a more enticing offer."
Rami's eyes darted down her body and back up so fast Mel couldn't be sure she'd seen it. He took a quick swig of his drink and Mel could have sworn he was a little flustered. This legendary hotelier and king of cool, who had transformed a courthouse, a YMCA, and a Salvation Army halfway house into the trendiest hotels this century, Rami freaking Caldwell, was flustered by her? Maybe Brent's not-so-subtle suggestion to edge up her look had worked. Just not on Brent, apparently. Thoughts of her boss pulled Mel's focus inward, and she stood in silence for a moment, lost again in her own shame and rage. She snuck a glance back at Rami, only to find him already looking at her. When their eyes caught, something fluttered low in her belly, and an involuntary smile tugged at the corner of her mouth. She had seen pictures of the famous Hotel Wunderkind in newspaper articles and magazines, but none of them did him justice. Sure, he was handsome. She had known he was handsome. But tonight, a mischievous spark lit his eyes. He leaned against the bar, the very picture of relaxation, and his entire demeanor said, "Stick with me and I'll show you a great time." And the way her night had gone, she could use a great time. Their gazes held. Could this make things awkward for her someday? Yes, definitely. But would it be worth it to forget her own shit and spend the evening with a handsome stranger? A handsome stranger who would, no doubt, take her to the coolest underground club, maybe an elite after-hours party, and then, if she was lucky, bring her back to his ultra-stylish home where those long, elegant fingers would make her forget Brent ever existed? Hell yes. It would definitely be worth it. Mel took a half step closer, and Rami leaned in. She tilted her head, and her glass dangled from her fingers. What had they been talking about? Oh, yes. Enticing offers. Her voice came out a little breathy as she teased, "I'm actually quite well known for my many enticements." Rami's dark eyes lit with surprise and amusement. "I would just bet you are," he purred, deep and low. Mel was staring at his full lips, another flirtatious salvo on the tip of her tongue, when Brent appeared directly behind Rami. Damn, she had completely forgotten about him. That was a first. But now that he was back in her field of view, Mel's body tensed and the heat of her forgotten embarrassment flushed her face. Rami leaned even closer and had just opened his mouth to speak when Brent clapped him on the back.
"Rami, bro, good to see you, man."
The heat that had been building between Mel and Rami dissipated as Rami retreated, turning to greet the other man. They were around the same height, but the similarities ended there. Although Rami gracefully returned Brent's back-slapping bro hug, he stepped back from the larger man quickly.
Brent, how are you?
His relaxed energy shifted to something more detached, almost aloof. His dark eyes lost their sparkle and turned cold. Now the sharp-eyed businessman Mel had seen in the magazine spread stood before her. It was no wonder she hadn't recognized him.
Can't complain, man. Living the dream.
Suddenly, Brent's stiff military posture and booming voice seemed like too much for this elegant space. Mel had always admired his confidence, but in the face of Rami's laid-back poise, Brent reminded her of a kid trying too hard to prove he was cool enough to hang with his big brother's friends.
I see you've met Mel, my right-hand woman.
Brent's eyes cut to her and flashed as he put a hand on her back possessively. Mel silently seethed as she felt his fingers brush against her skin, finding their way under the draped fabric of her jumpsuit. Leave it to Brent to finally notice her the moment she focused on someone else. Typical.
Melanie and I were just discussing her great coup. Luring Ray Cho away from my new hotel project was impressive, Rami said.
His eyes dropped down to Brent's hand on her back, a question forming in them. Mel brushed her hair back behind her shoulders and used the movement to sidle out of Brent's reach, still hoping to salvage something of her fantasy about how this night might go. Brent's boisterous laugh echoed off the soft, bulbous glass of the chandeliers. Mel almost worried the harsh noise would shatter them.
Oh, that wasn't much of a get, really. You know Ray always wanted to do a project in K-Town. Your mistake was going to the Arts District, Brent smirked.
At this, Mel's eyes widened, and it was all she could do to keep them from rolling all the way around in their sockets. She had worked for years building a good relationship with Ray. She'd followed him since he opened his first food truck, and it had not been easy to convince him that they were going to respect the culture of his neighborhood and not just be another outside business trying to capitalize on an exoticized version of Koreatown's hipness, perfectly packaged and sold to wealthy Westsiders who saw themselves as adventurous. She was forced to take a large gulp of her sparkling wine to keep her eyes hidden from Brent. Mel had always been terrible at keeping her exact opinions off of her face. Especially now, when her opinion was that Brent could get fucked. Rami didn't respond, his mouth a thin line as his grip on his champagne flute tightened. Mel didn't think she was imagining his distaste for Brent. For his part, Brent didn't acknowledge either of their reactions and barreled on, oblivious.
Mel really is the best, though. She's a great collaborator, takes direction well, knows her limitations. You're gonna love working with her on Palm Springs.
He clapped Rami on the shoulder a little too hard. Mel almost spit out her last mouthful of bubbly. The fantasy flashed through her mind again in triple speed, now moving past one night of pleasure to an awkward morning after, uncomfortable meetings in hotel lobbies with Rami and Brent, and the inevitable horrifying moment when she would lose her job, destroy her professional reputation, and unravel her entire life because she couldn't keep it in her pants for one goddamn night. She wanted to walk over to the nearest wall and bang her head against it. Repeatedly. Or maybe go down the service elevator to the staff locker room that must be in the basement of this chic Beverly Hills hotel and take a cold shower, or 10. She was so deep in her own personal hell that she almost missed Rami's next words.
I had already sussed that out for myself. She's quite impressive.
That twinkle had returned to his eye, and one side of his mouth quirked up. Mel's eyes narrowed. He knew. As soon as she told him her name, he knew that they would be working together. Mel had a sudden and overwhelming urge to wipe the adorable little smirk off his stupid, handsome face. Suddenly, she realized she had been silent through this entire exchange, just listening to these two men discussing her winning qualities and her job and apparently her entire future. How long was she meant to be working in Palm Springs? When would she be going? What would she even be doing there? They didn't seem to find it at all necessary to include her in the conversation, much less give her a choice in the matter.
And to make it all so much worse, she had been flirting with him.
Her new, what, collaborator? Colleague? Boss? She had practically drooled over him, staring at his lips, making her suggestive little come-ons. She wanted to zip herself out of her skin suit and leave it on the floor of the hotel bar, taking her now unrecognizable meat self home to eat ice cream and drink gin. A very small, very petty part of her hungered to make Rami Caldwell look the fool by sliding her arm through Brent's and tugging him away with her, throwing a condescending glance over her shoulder as he stood at the bar gaping like an idiot. But a much, much larger part of her was still completely irritated with Brent, not only for his behavior earlier, but also for barging into her tête-à-tête with Rami and squishing his domineering hands all up in her proverbial cake. There was only one way forward. Mel would try to salvage what remained of her fragile dignity and live to fight another day. Well, you both seem to have the right of it. I am indeed the best and also very impressive. Frankly, I think if I stick around much longer, I'll only hurt my case, so I'll quit while I'm ahead. Good night, gentlemen. She hoped her tone was as breezy and playful as a sundress on a summer day, and that neither man could see the flames racing beneath her skin. She forced herself to stroll deliberately to the bar to dispense with her empty glass, rather than sprinting to the elevator and tossing the damn flute behind her as she ran. And yes, okay, maybe she put a little extra sway in her step, knowing both men were watching her walk away. But she did not allow herself a single backward glance.